Name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Today's December 8th, year 2008, the feast day of the Immaculate Conception. Our Lady, the Immaculate Conception, pray for us. Saint Joachim,
pray for us.
The good Saint Anne,
pray for us.
In which that great miracle took place, the second greatest miracle of all time, second to the Incarnation. I invoke, especially during the sermons I'm giving on the Book of the Apocalypse, in which we're exposing the harlot, I invoke, as always anyway, but just specially again, the special help of the Immaculate and Ever-Virgin Mary, pure and holy, who was given her to crush the head of the serpent and the harlot. She made reparation where Eve failed. She's the most perfect creature God ever created, the most holiest and the most pure. So who better than to invoke to help us defeat this harlot that we're going to be reading about today, which happens during today to represent the United States and the corruptions that she's having throughout the world. So we invoke our Blessed Mother in the title of Our Lady Immaculate Conception to go before us and myself during these sermons to enlighten all the people out there that are listening to me so they can see the truth of what's happening here and they can see how ugly this harlot is we're going to read about as opposed to how beautiful our Blessed Mother is, who is the new Eve who made right what Eve made wrong. And when we're talking about harlots too, the reason I use the terminology of the harlot in the scriptures is because Eve was the one who sinned and then seduced Adam to follow her. So God many times uses the description of a harlot as one of the main entities that corrupts the world. Now, yesterday we were talking about this beast that had a woman on it, which is the harlot, and it had seven heads and it had 10 horns. The seven heads, we already said, represented seven successive kingdoms that corrupts the world. And the woman represents the harlot, that each one of these kingdoms uses a harlot to corrupt the world with paganism, with apostasy, with heresy, and with immorality. So the beast, the Antichrist, who's ever present, even from the fall of Adam and Eve, you always have the spirit of Antichrist. You have many figures of Antichrist. You have many figures of the harlot. Till you get the great harlot and the great Antichrist. The harlot and the Antichrist. You're going to learn that the harlot is the United States of America, and the Antichrist is going to be an apostate Jew sitting in the Temple of Jerusalem, the ultimate harlot, the ultimate Antichrist. But there's many Antichrists, many harlots. Each one of these particular principal kingdoms is the kingdom that corrupts the world, using the harlot to corrupt the world, as I just said, with paganism, apostasy, heresy, and immorality, and persecute God's chosen people, and to murder the prophets, and to kill God's chosen people. That's why you're going to read here that this harlot is full of the blood of the prophets, and all the holy men and women. From the very fall of Adam and Eve till the end of the world, this harlot's been always out there working for the Antichrist, persecuting God's chosen people, persecuting and kill and murdering his saints. And till we get to the final head, it's the seventh head, and the final harlot, which you're going to find out when we're reading this right now, Apocalypse chapter 17, is the United States of America. She is the epitome of the harlot. She is the harlot. She's paving the road for the Antichrist who's going to be sitting in Jerusalem in the temple. Now, when we read this, just keep that in mind with one little addendum on the 10 horns. The 10 horns are 10 kings that don't rule to the end of the world under the rule of the Antichrist. They rule all at the same time with the Antichrist. So if they don't come along in successive kingdoms. So this beast represents all the persecutions in which Satan, working through the Antichrist and the harlot, corrupts the whole world. The 5 of the kingdoms were already, actually 6 of the kingdoms were already. We're now in the 7th kingdom. And then the 8th kingdom, which is going to be of the 7th, is going to be the reign of the Antichrist, that 3.5-year reign. And the 10 horns are 10 kings, the kings of the world, that serve the Antichrist all together at one time in the same time period. You're going to read that in the commentary we're going to talk about. So now with that paving the road for these interpretations, as you read about this figure several times in the book of the Apocalypse, it's always the beast, a woman riding on the beast with 7 heads and 10 horns. Now we're going to start out with Apocalypse chapter 17 and just read right through it. And stop when it's appropriate to comment upon it. He says, "And then there came one of the 7 angels who had the 7 vials and spoke with me, saying, Come, and I will show thee the condemnation of the great harlot who sitteth upon many waters." Now, he's going to show St. John the condemnation of the harlot, the great harlot, not ones of the other 6 kingdoms. The one who's the United States is what you're going to see. This is what he's referring to. As we already told you yesterday, there was a need of another beast to bring the first beast to power. And that other beast is the United States. Here, the angel is referring to this other beast as a harlot. A harlot that corrupts and a harlot that dominates the world and points everybody towards the beast. He's just reconfirming this here. And he's going here, he says, "I'm going to now show you the condemnation of this harlot, this great harlot." He goes, I will show you the condemnation of the great harlot who sitteth upon many waters, with whom the kings of the earth have committed fornication, and they who inhabit the earth who have been made drunk with the wine of her whoredom. The wine of her whoredom. All the kings of the earth have drunk of the fornication of the United States, of its materialism, of its greed, of its paganism, of its idolatries, of its apostasies, of its heresies, of its Americanism, of its modernism, of its immoralities, which she spreads throughout the whole world. Just read what she does when she goes into these Muslim countries who are not as evil as we are. They're obeying some of the natural laws. They go in and bring in pornographic magazines, X-rated movies, stuff these Muslim countries never had. This whore, this United States is the whore that's being mentioned here. And all of the kings of the earth were made drunk with her whoredoms. Verse 3 says, and he took me away in spirit into the desert. And I saw a woman sitting upon a scarlet-colored beast. There's the beast, the Antichrist, the figured Antichrist, full of names of blasphemy, having 7 heads and 10 horns. We're back to the 7 heads and 10 horns. And the woman was clothed round about with purple and scarlet, and gilt with gold and precious stones and pearls, having a golden cup in her hand full of the abominations and filthiness of her fornications. She lives in materialism and greed and luxury. Over-luxury even in greed and materialism. Gaudy, as people would say. Gaudy. And it says, and on her forehead a name was written, a mystery, Babylon the Great, the mother of the fornication and the abominations of the earth, the source from which all the major abominations go out. These other countries have their own abominations, but the United States is the one that we're the main source, and if there's anybody that doesn't have it, the United States is going to give it to them, and if there's anybody who does have it, the United States is going to give it to them even more. And they're going to make sure that they're protected in it too, and defend these other countries, and even implement it even more. And it says, and I saw the woman drunk with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. And I wondered when I had seen her with great admiration. Now he's talking about the harlots from all the different harlots working in all these different kingdoms. She's drunk with the blood of all the prophets and the holy men and women from the Old Testament era through the New Testament era. Because in every era, you always had a Antichrist and a harlot corrupting the world. And now we have the United States, the harlot, and who's supporting the Israel, which is where Antichrist is going to be ruling. All right, and she attacks God's chosen people. She attacks the one true God. She attacks his one true religion. And she does this in a true pronged attack by promulgating these falsehoods and attacking the holy people. By murdering them. All right, so she, in her is all the guilt of the blood of the saints and the martyrs. And it says, and the angel said to me, why dost thou wonder? I will tell thee the mystery of the woman and of the beast which carrieth her, which hath the 7 heads and the 10 horns. The beast which thou sawest was and is not and shall come up out of the bottomless pit and go into destruction. That's the power of the we're talking about before, the power of the Antichrist and the apostate Judaism, who was corrupting the world through paganism, using paganism and all these methods, up until the year when this power was crushed, it now had to go underground. It's the seventh kingdom we spoke about of stealth, okay? That's when the beast appeared to be not. And then all of a sudden, when God unleashed Satan from the pit, the beast appears again and everybody stands back and wonders, says, wow, look at this. We're going back to the early days. We're re-paganizing the world. We're glorifying philosophy. We're now talking about mythology. We're now bringing in immorality. Immorality, by the way, was so bad in the 1500s. And that's the point where we already had the philosophy, the theophilosophy, the mythology, and then the pornography with naked pictures in the Vatican and all over Europe. It was so bad that Pius V had to make severe decrees against sodomy because it was committed all over Catholic Europe. It was rampant.
We read from the well-known historian von Pastor. In the first year of his pontificate, the Pope had two preponderant concerns, zeal for the Inquisition and the struggle against this horrendous sin whereby the justice of God caused the cities contaminated by it to be consumed in flames. On April 1st, 1566, he ordered that sodomites be turned over to the secular arm. The various imprisonments of sodomites impressed Rome and frightened especially well-established people, for it was well known that the Pope wanted his laws enforced, even against the powerful. Indeed, to punish for vices against nature, the torment for the stake was applied throughout the pontificate of Pius V. An earlier brief mandated that clerics who were guilty of that crime be stripped of all their posts, dignities, and income, and after degradation be handed over to the secular arm. End quote. What Pius V did not know is that he was one of the main causes of the problem for supporting theophilosophy, mythology, and allowing naked pictures on the walls of the Vatican and through all Catholic Europe. Sodomy was only an end result of theophilosophy, mythology, and then the naked people up on the ceilings is just proof that they're immoral.
Why is sodomy rampant in Catholic countries if they aren't under the Romans one curse? Why? It's a curse from God. It relates to the pornographic pictures in Rome. But that's not the root of the problem. The root of the problem was, as we always said, philosophy, theophilosophy, and mythology. All right. But now that's the beast reappearing. You can just picture looking at it and go, wow, look at this. The world's getting crazy again. It's being re-paganized. Immorality's running rampant. You know, the beast is around again. Okay. So it says, and the inhabitants of the earth, whose names are not written in the book of the life from the foundation of the world, shall wonder, seeing the beast that was and is not, and now it is again. They're wondering. Wow. And what he means by wondering, they're even liking it. Because he says they're the ones that are working for the beast. They're glorying it. These are the people in the Renaissance movement that hated the Catholic Church, that were doing anything they could to get away from the true God and his laws and commandments. Even the ones that were really evil because they know they were being killed by the Inquisitions, justly killed. They were being sent into exile and they didn't like it. So now they say, our day is coming. Our evil star is rising. All right, and it says, and here is understanding that hath wisdom. The seven heads are seven mountains upon which the woman sitteth, and they are seven kings. Five are fallen, one is, and the other is not yet come. And when he is come, he must remain a short time. We spoke about that yesterday. Now, I just want to make an addendum on that. This refutes these bastard Protestants that try to say that Rome and the popes were always, and the true Catholic Church is this harlot. Because there's seven hills in Rome. First of all, he's talking about seven mountains that don't exist at the same time. There's successive kingdoms. One kingdom is one mountain. That kingdom ends. There's another kingdom. That's another mountain. Not five, seven mountains all in the same place at one time under one kingdom. Just read what he says here. Five are fallen. One is and one will come in the time of St. John. In the time of St. John. He's talking about five of these mountains existed in the Old Covenant era when we didn't even have the Catholic Church. How's that, you stupid Protestants, for misinterpreting your Bibles willfully, attacking the Holy Catholic Church and trying to portray her as a harlot? Now, I say modern-day Rome and the Vatican is a harlot, but only because it's like the United States. It's an image of the United States in a spiritual way. It's been infected by Judeo-Freemasons. And it has the same spirit of Americanism and modernism and religious liberty. But that's not the Catholic Church you're looking at in Rome today or the Vatican. It's not Catholic. Those guys are apostates. So I'm not defending them. But the true Catholic Church and the true papacy, and which they blaspheme, the scripture itself proves them to be wrong. These mountains exist at it's in successive times, not all at one time. Five of them were existing in the Old Covenant era, so it cannot be the Catholic Church. This is a big verse the Protestants use to try to attack the Catholic Church and the papacy as being evil entities. But clearly we're reading about this. We said it yesterday, the five kingdoms that were the Egyptian, the Syrian, the Babylonian, the Persian, and the Grecian empires. The one that was the Roman. The one that was to come was in the 4th century after the pagan Roman Empire is defeated, which is the 7th kingdom, the 7th head, which is the stealthy kingdom that works underground and secretly because the Holy Catholic Church does not allow it to predominate in the public arena. And now it goes on and says, and the beast which was and is not, the same also is the 8th, and is of the 7th, and goeth into destruction. That's at the end of the 7th kingdom reign, when the Antichrist finally comes to power. They call it the 8th kingdom, or an 8th reign, an 8th kingdom, but it's really of the 7th, because he was the main power behind, apostate Judaism was the main power behind that, bringing their Antichrist to power. So he's even alive today, I believe it. So he's now the Antichrist, if he is alive today, is a part of the secret 7th kingdom. He's not yet reigning, but when he comes out visibly, he takes his position of the 8th kingdom. But he's even alive today, orchestrating things in the background. He will be doing that a while before he manifests himself. So he will be of the 7th kingdom, and he will be of the 8th kingdom. The 8th kingdom is his ultimate kingdom when he visibly reigns in Jerusalem in the temple. Now we go on. And the 10 horns which shall sauce are 10 kings who have not yet received a kingdom, but shall receive power as kings 1 hour after the beast. Clearly now we know that these 10 kings reign with the Antichrist. And it says 1 hour after the beast. So right now you already have the beast gathering together all the kings of the world doing his work for him. You can just see it. Watch all these different one world government rules that they got going with the euro dollar and all these plans to unite the whole world and these G20s and these G8s and all these, the NATO groups and all that and the United Nations. And you have all these kings of the world now doing the work and preparing the road for the Antichrist, and they all have one mind right now even. And you're going to read about it as we go on here. They have one mind and one design. And when the Antichrist comes to power, he rewards them with these mini kingdoms underneath him. And it's almost every king in the earth is going to end up serving him. If not every, but I think my opinion is we may have one or two groups that are not going to serve him, and that's where we're going to be operating from. But at least we know it's almost every king. You read that in other verses, Apocalypse 19:19, about how the Antichrist gathers together all the kings of the earth. Apocalypse 16, he gathers together all the kings of the earth. Apocalypse 27, he gathers together all the kings of the earth. So here, these 10 horns are representing 10 kings that are reigning with Antichrist, as many kings under the Antichrist. The commentary on that we read is in Apocalypse 17:12. The 10 horns or 10 kings which thou sawest as yet have received no kingdom, but shall receive power as kings 1 hour after the beast. According to the common interpretation, this must be referred to 10 or many kings. It doesn't have to be 10, it could just mean many, who are different from the wicked kings that have been, and who should follow and live at the same time with the beast, by which here seems to be signified the Antichrist. The scripture really speaks for itself on that. So the 10 horns that you're looking from the beginning of time have not come yet. That's the final. So when you're looking at this beast, the whole culmination of Satan's attack against God's people with all these antichrists from the history of the fall of Adam and Eve are represented with this beast we're looking at, and which a woman sitting on it, with the 7 heads and the 10 horns. And the 10 horns are reserved for the final, which is really the 8th kingdom. You see, it's this 8th kingdom. And that's going to be the 1/8 of the 7th, in which these 10 kings now are going to be granted power from the Antichrist. They already are in power now, even. The Antichrist is already manipulated. Whether he's alive or not, the people of the Antichrist, the apostate Jews, are already guiding the world. The world is actually being orchestrated by one mind, and the apostate Jews are getting their power from Satan. And so does the Antichrist. He gets his power from Satan, which Scriptures refers to as the dragon. So when you read about the dragon, you're talking about Satan. So the Jews are getting their power from Satan. The apostate Jews are manipulating the whole world to bring to power the Antichrist. Now we just established that these 10 horns are 10 kingdoms that reign with the Antichrist. And it says in verse 13, they have one design, and their strength and power they shall deliver to the beast. They have one design, they have one mind, they have one plan. This is already happening. That's what I was going to say before, that the people of the Antichrist are already in such control of the world that when you go into any of your local libraries, when you turn on any of your local news shows, it's always the same news, it's always the same books. You can never find the books that really tell you the truth. They are selectively removed from the libraries. You turn on different TV shows, they're never telling you the news that you really need to hear. The internet's the only thing that God has allowed to happen in these days to give us the truth. Because we can go in there and pull out from third-party sources. But when you look at all the major public organs that are controlled by the apostate Jews, and not just that, and the Freemasons and the university systems, just look how hard it is to get evolution out of the schools, or at least creationism taught in the schools. You can't do it. There's one mind operating right now. So my point I was going to say before, whether the Antichrist is alive or not, his people are doing his work, and they, especially in his 7th kingdom, they've been working tenaciously to bring him to power. And there's always a big leader. By the way, even if though he's not the Antichrist, let's go back to this kingdom when it starts coming to power. You got a big shot Jew talking to Satan directly. And I mean directly. Whether he believes that Satan is Lucifer and he's an angel of light, I think that's true because he's duping him. He's making him believe he's God, or he's going to be God, or he's as powerful as God. And he's dealing always with a top dog who's the big boss. It's always that way. It's always a kingdom. So there's always been a number one Jew that's orchestrating this whole thing until they finally bring to power the Antichrist. But already, even whether the Antichrist is alive or not, we know they have one design, all right? And it says when the Antichrist comes to power, they're going to absolutely explicitly, it says, deliver their power to the beast. These have one design, and their strength and power they shall deliver to the beast. They already have, though. Anybody who rules today in the world, they're going to just do this explicitly. You don't see it explicitly. You're going to see something like France, Italy, Poland, take these countries, England, throwing down their crowns and allegiance to the Antichrist, literally saying, we submit to you, you're our ultimate king, we're just going to be like princes under you, minor kings. That's going to happen. You're reading about that here. But technically, they've already done that. even though you don't see it. Because they're either Freemasons, they belong to some type of a secret society, and they had to make an absolute oath before they were given leadership over any country. I don't care whether it's the President of the United States, or it's the leaders in England, or the leaders in France, or the leaders in Italy. All Freemasons probably are belonging to some other secret society, or some type of Jews themselves, secret Jews. They have already, before they were allowed to ascend to power, bow down and worship the beast and give them allegiance, so they wouldn't even be in power today. That's why they're doing the work of the beast. But what this is saying too, in particular, when the Antichrist comes to power, they're going to show you outwardly who they've been serving secretly. And they're going to just throw the allegiance into the Antichrist, and they're going to take all their orders from the Antichrist. Even now through the United Nations, you have certain rules where a lot of these nations are submitting decisions to the United Nations. But this United Nations is not even the ultimate thing that's happening here. It's going to come out through Jerusalem. What's that?
Oh, Ron was asking about the ten horns and the ten kings being the United Nations. Is that something?
No, the ten horns, you know, that's part of it. It's not just the United Nations. That's one of the things. Because, yeah, the United Nations is one proof of it. Because you got, right now, let's say, okay, now the ten kings they're talking about here, in particular, but let's get on to let's go fast forward.
Yeah, right.
Antichrist is now ruling. He has the kings of the world under him, giving him allegiance. But even now, the kings of the world are giving him allegiance. So how are these kings already united? The United Nations is one of their main instruments in which the devil is uniting these kings. Not just the United Nations, but the NATO forces, the G8, the G20. Look at a lot of these, I think they have these Euro committees and all that. So you have a lot of these different groups where you see these world leaders coming together in conference, united and of one mind. Even though sometimes they seem to be opposed on many issues, on the main issues like supporting Israel and propagating the abominations of paganism and apostasy and heresy and immorality, they all are on the same page. All right. So the United Nations happens to be one of the big instruments, yes, that the devil has used to gather together the nations so that then he can have control over these kings, you know. And that's one of the main instruments, the NATO, the G8, the G20 that you just heard about, and these other different groups in which the world leaders come together. But they're really absolutely ultimately united in a secret societies which people can't see. Freemasonry, for instance. There's no doubt, most likely, that every one of these world leaders is a Freemason. So what really unites them, more than the United Nations, more than NATO, more than G8, more than G20, is their membership in the Freemasonic Society, which even the Russians and the Chinese, and you've got Freemasons in every different country. That's where they take their ultimate orders from. If you're a Freemason or you belong to any other secret society, they're all controlled by the Jews, you have to swear to give allegiance up and foremost to that secret society above everything. So when a Jew gives an order at the top to the Freemasonic leaders and he tells them what they have to do, they have to obey blindly. That's ultimately where the real unity comes. You don't see that though. Well, you could just go drive down to your town and look at the Freemasonic Lodge. You could see it. It's there. You just don't know what's going on in the inside. You don't know how dangerous that wicked and evil place is. Or the B'nai B'ris, which is where the Jews gather together their people. And what you don't know is that the apostate Jews are the ones that are dominating these Freemasonic lodges. They're now quite big. Some of them look like cathedrals. The one here in Santa Fe looks like a cathedral. And El Paso. Oh, it looks like a cathedral. So that's where they're really united. These other organizations is where they appear in public to get their work done, like the Trilateral Commission and the Bilderberg groups. These are all important external groups where they get their work done. But their ultimate plans, their ultimate unity, their ultimate obedience, and the way the Antichrist ultimately controls them all is through these secret societies. In particular, let's stay with the Freemasons right now, because they are the number one group. After Protestantism came Freemasonry, and without these two elements, the apostate Jews could not have come to power. I mentioned it the other day. These are the groups the Jews used to do all their dirty work, but even the Freemasons, by their very membership in that group, Bush, whoever it is, the Jews want something to get done, and he wants the Frenchman to do it, he wants the Russian to do it, and he wants Bush to do it. They're giving their orders in the Freemasonic Lodge. They have to all bow their head, because this is what they need to do, and they will do it. Or they'll be ousted, they'll be kicked out, they'll be killed. Now, not all the United States presidents or all these Freemasonic guys play ball with the Jews, as we know. They're still human beings, and this is for all you Freemasons that are listening to me. Don't despair, but I'm telling you, you're in a harlot. You're in a group that is doing the dirty work for the Jew. You're one of the main harlots. It really is. Judeo-Masonry, Masonry is the harlot part of it. Judeo is the Antichrist part of it. The Freemasonry is the harlot part of it. You guys are doing the work of the harlot by spreading paganism, by spreading apostasy, by spreading heresy and immorality. And they're giving glory in the Masonic Lodge to the Jewish temple in Jerusalem. That's where he's really ruling all these leaders. And if they don't already give their allegiance to the Jews, the top Jew in the world today, who's running this whole show, even though he may not be the Antichrist yet, they don't get in power, they don't get elected, and they get persecuted, like when Clinton and Bush got persecuted because they weren't playing ball with the Jews. And the Jews say that. They don't trust all the Masons. They punish them when they don't obey. They kill them, or they banish them, or they levy some other heavy penalty upon them. And they even say that when these Freemasons, eventually we're going to destroy them. You're going to read this in the same chapter. You Freemasons, watch what's going to happen to you when I'm done with this chapter. What the Jews are going to do to you. They're going to eat you up and spit you out, and you deserve every bit of it for serving these bastards. You yourselves should know because of your piggy, filthy, dirty doctrines that you're taught in the Freemasonic lodges. That's ultimately where the real unity of the world comes. You don't see that happening unless you're just read about Freemasons that left the lodges. There's plenty of proof to find out what goes on. This evil perpetration, it comes under many different names. It doesn't have to be just Freemasonry. There's other different secret societies. But they're all controlled by the Jews. That's why you see in the world everything happening the way they want it. That's why creationism can't get even an edge. Anyone. That's why if you're a university professor, you got to believe in heliocentrism.
The Holocaust.
Yeah. You can't get a word in edgewise on the Holocaust in the whole world.
Yeah.
Think about that, folks. Even here, if you do it, they don't yet put you in jail, but you'll lose your job, you'll lose everything, even if you do it here in the United States. Come on. Let's read this verse again. They have one design with the beast, and they shall deliver their power and strength to the beast. That's going to be the ultimate moment when the beast finally does rule. They're going to go, hey, guess what? You idiots, you know, we've been serving this beast anyway. Now it's out in public. We're going to lay down our crowns at the foot of the beast, and we're going to give him our allegiance. That's going to happen when Antichrist comes to full visible power. So now you're learning about these 10 horns. And it says, let's read what they do. They shall fight with the Lamb, and the Lamb shall overcome them. Of course. Because who's the Lamb? Because he is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. And they that are with him are called, and the elect and the faithful. That's us. True Catholics. That's who's with him. We're his army. We're Mary's heel. We're Christ's army. They're going to make war against us. But we're going to win in the end. You watch. We win. It's a done deal already. You know, Antichrist has a short reign, and then we gain the kingdom. As long as we stay faithful, we're going to be resurrected with our bodies. Our souls will go to heaven. Then we'll get our bodies back, and we're going to reign upon the earth in a new kingdom, dominate the whole earth. The Antichrist and all his minions are thrown into hell forever. You're going to read about all that in here, or maybe the next verses as we go on to them. It's beautiful when you read about this. Okay, now, so of course they're going to make war against us. They're going to make war against Christ. They're already making war against Christ. And they are able to, what it means by overcome them, in the end Christ is going to overcome them. Because now we're talking about the visible reign of the Antichrist. Where there's open persecutions, there's a real vicious attack against Christ and Mary and us. Now, he's going to kill us. He's going to blaspheme God. He's going to kill a lot of us, martyr us and all that, like he did in the early church. But those are really victories for us. But ultimately, in the end, as we'll read later on in following weeks, Jesus, when he comes the second time, gains the victory. First, Mary comes and throws a false prophet and the Antichrist into the pit alive. That's the end of him. Gone. All those years from the fall of Adam and Eve, they've been working to subvert the world. And all this seven kingdom, all the work and the money and the energy they put in a split second when Mary puts the heel down, it's done. And then the few kings that are left are going to be routed within a 2-year period following that or more. I'll explain that later in the following weeks as we go along. Now it says here, this is very important. So now we're learning about these 10 horns that are in the beast. There are these 10 minor kings that are serving the king, their king, despot, the Antichrist. He makes war against the Lamb and us, true Catholics. And it says, and he said to me, the waters which shall source where the harlot sitteth are peoples in nations in tongues. Now that's interesting. Boy, if that's not the United States. The United States have many peoples, has many nations, and has many tongues. We have all, it's the melting pot. And it sits by many waters between the Atlantic and the Pacific. And it is a melting pot. It has people from every nation here. And it's the harlot. The harlot which shall sow this sitteth, that sitteth by the waters. And the harlot represents the United States, and in particular the home base is New York City. So when you look at that Statue of Liberty with her, this so-called Lady Liberty, that's the harlot. That's not the Blessed Mother, folks. Don't be deceived. That ain't got nothing to do with the Gospels or anything holy. That's an evil woman. That's the harlot. And she beckons people to these coasts by greed, by materialism, because they want to have luxury, and they don't want to obey God's commandments, because you want to violate God's commandments. That's the attraction of this country to people. It really only attracted people that were worthy of it, reprobates to start with. So she greets people in the harbor. Welcome to this harlot. You know, there she is. There's the harlot you were talking about right here. Sits by many waters. She happens to be sitting right in the middle, right off of Staten Island, circled by water. The statue itself. You know, but this is, we're talking about the United States here now. In particular, the home base is New York City. Next, on Sunday, we're going to read chapter 18. We're almost done with this now. And it says on chapter 17. And it says, and he said to me, the waters which thou sawest where the harlot sitteth are peoples and nations and tongues. And the 10 horns which thou sawest in the beast, the 10 kings that are going to now be serving the beast, totally giving their dedication, these shall hate the harlot. And they shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire, because they no longer need a harlot. It's always, what does a guy do when he's done using a harlot? He throws her out and kills her. He wears her out and says, you're done, harlot. Get out of here, you whore. I don't need you no more, you whore. The Jews have been using the Freemasons and the Protestants as whores. They've been using this country as a big whore. And when they don't need it anymore, they're going to kick it out. They're going to burn it with fire. It's in their own protocols. They say, we are the ones that created the Freemasonic societies. We are the ones that rule them. We are the ones that make these goy sheep do what they're doing. And a lot of them don't even know. We're the ones that are ruling them. But a lot of them do know. They do know. Yeah, you guys do know what I'm saying. And they even say, in the end, when it gets really bad, we're going to just leave the Freemasons one place where they can shoot their mouth off and feel like they got a little bit of freedom, United States of America. And then when we finally come to power, it's in the protocols, we're going to crush every type of secret society because they're all known to us, they're all controlled by us, and we're going to eradicate every one of them. So then there will be no chance of any type of rebellions against us. Then we, the apostate Jews and their anti-Christian Jerusalem, will be the sole kings and rulers of the whole universe. And all these 10 kings are going to be told that they're going to have to go and turn on this harlot, which is the United States of America. That's the United States of America and Freemasonry being destroyed. And these people too, these leaders are going to be told even to renounce their own membership in Freemasonry when they lay their crowns to the beast. That's what it means. You are now an explicit worshiper of the beast. You are now under his kingdom, and Freemasonry no longer will exist. The United States will then be destroyed. This is the other beast that brings the first beast to power, and then she's destroyed by that first beast, because the first beast says, thank you for all the money, thank you for all the support, thank you for all the nuclear technology, thank you for all the weapons, thank you for pointing everybody to adore and worship us under the Holocaust museums. Thank you for all those tax money you gave us, but we don't need you no more. We are now standing on our own, and we're going to eradicate you. And at the same time, Rome is going to fall. Two things are happening here, because the harlot is also modern-day Rome, which is a parallel of the United States. The United States physically brings the Antichrist to power. Rome spiritually justifies the Antichrist by justifying apostate Judaism, by justifying Talmudic Judaism, by saying it's a true religion when it's an utterly false, blasphemous religion, by justifying these apostate Jews by saying they're under a covenant with God when they're under no covenant with God. They're under a covenant with Satan. They're not under the new covenant. When they teach us the old covenant is still in effect. That's the job of the Vatican Church, to give spiritual justification to the beast, and the United States gives physical justification and support to the beast. And when this thing happens, the Jews are going to destroy both Rome and the United States. And they're going to have the 10 kings do it. The Antichrist himself is not going to do it. You remember the protocol said? And then when these other kings are going to do it, we're going to step in and stop excessive bloodshed and play the hero. And say, oh, back off, you kings. Now you went a little too far. You're a little too extreme. Be a little bit merciful to these people. Because it says the 10 horns do it, not the beast. The beast is going to sit there and go, okay, I'll intercede, because these are my kings. You guys got a little carried away. When you went to Rome, you know, you killed too many cardinals, and you raped, you pillaged too much. You know, back off, but then he's going to make conditions. I'll tell my attack dogs to back off as long as you, after he first does his work. You see, the United States did that too, and Israel already does that. If you notice when they went into Lebanon in a Hamas group, and they were attacking the Hamas group, I think it was in Lebanon, they went in there and wanted to wipe out the main perpetrators of the Hamas group, and they actually just invaded their country and started killing people and blowing up buildings, men, women, and children. Then they came out and the United States says to Israel, you know, you guys really should stop doing it. It's just not nice what you did, like a slap on the wrist. And Israel said, yeah, okay, well, we're planning on withdrawing. We just got to do a few more things before we withdraw. They were waiting until they finished their objective, and then they withdrew. They didn't immediately withdraw. The United States wasn't telling them, you got to get out now. They said, well, we're coming to the peace table. We can't make an agreement until we come to the peace table. And then when they said enough bloodshed was shed, the United States comes in, Israel, and says, okay, now back out. So Israel really wasn't going to back out until they got the job done that they wanted. But this is the same sort of thing that's going to happen here. When the United States is destroyed in the Vatican II, the beast is not going to be the one really doing. He's going to have his 10 kings doing in the world. And then he's going to back them off. He's going to call his attack dogs off. And that's going to even give these people more reason to go, okay, Antichrist, we'll do whatever you say. Just call your dogs off. Call your dogs off. And he's going to pretend to be a hero. It brings now peace to chaos. You see? But you're reading about it right here. And the 10 horns which are sauce in the beast that are serving the Antichrist, these shall hate the harlot, the United States, which and also Rome, as I just explained, and shall make her desolate and naked, and shall eat her flesh and burn her with fire. Prophet Ezekiel talks about this event when Rome falls. He talks specifically about it.
In Ezekiel chapter 9, verses 1 through 11, we read, "And he cried in my ears with a loud voice, the visitations of the city, Rome, are at hand, and everyone hath a destroying weapon in his hands. And the Lord said to him, go through the midst of the city, through the midst of Jerusalem, Rome, and mark thou upon the foreheads of the men that sigh and mourn for all the abominations that are committed in the midst thereof. And to the others he said in my hearing, go ye after them through the city and strike. Let not your eyes spare, nor be ye moved with pity. Utterly destroy, old and young, maidens, children, and women. But upon whomever you shall see foul, kill him not. And begin ye at my sanctuary, Vatican City. So they began at the ancient men, the apostate bishops and the apostate antipope, who were found before the house." End quote. We now go on to quote from Apocalypse chapter 17.
And it says, "Eat her flesh and burn her with fire, for God hath given into their hearts to do that which pleaseth him, that they give their kingdom to the beast, so the words of God be fulfilled." God is allowing it all. As we always say, the Antichrist and these 10 kings are God's ministers of justice. He uses evil angels, he uses evildoers to punish evildoers. God says, you put your faith in these guys? Ultimately, folks, I look at the Antichrist and the 10 kings as a divine punishment from God, which people are worthy of. Evildoers punishing evildoers. Evildoers raping and plundering and pillaging and burning and killing. It's by the will of God. It's by the allowance of God. God says, you want him? He's all yours. I'm empowering him. I'm giving him more power. I'm going to allow all this to happen because you're worthy of it. I'm going to show you who this guy is that you've been following him. I'm going to show you his true nature. And I'm going to let you be ripped to shreds by this Antichrist. When he comes to power, he's going to rip the feminists to shred. These women right now who think they're superwoman. They think they can get on the top of the Empire State Building and fly off of the thing. You know, or lift up 10,000 pounds, bench press and roll, I am woman kind of nonsense. Watch when the Antichrist comes to power. He's going to smack them right down. He's going to rape them. He's going to plunder them. He's going to pillage them. He's going to throw them in a pig pen. You watch what's going to happen. But you deserve it. I glory in that day. I glory when that happens. Even though the Antichrist is an evil bastard himself, I'm going to glory most when he goes down too. But right now, even, folks, I tell our Catholic brothers, even what's happening in the world today, it's just evildoers murdering evildoers and killing evildoers and punishing evildoers. There's no one just out in that world right now but us few Catholics. Some are more just than others, though. I agree. And we do speak out on certain issues. But you understand, it says God has put it into your heart to do it. God has given them the power. God, the Catholic God, is the ultimate power behind all things. You remember the vision Leo XIII had in the late 1880s, where Satan asked Jesus Christ for more power because he needed that power to come to world domination. And because it was so bad at that time, because heresies started to be taught to laymen, and now entered layman books, God said, Jesus said to Satan, yes, you have more power. Yes, you have power to pervert and subvert the world. It's the last stage of the punishment. It's the end of it all. So you're looking at here, he says, for God is the one who's given the power. God could speak and stop it right away if he wants. All the people that sit back and say, why has God allowed this? Why? Because he respects your free will. You the guys, you chose him. He's all yours, buddy boy. We just had another guy here, a catechumen for a while. Now he's no longer a catechumen. You don't want to come in here because we kick people out. I says, yeah, we do kick people out, but what kind of people do we kick out? Hard rock and rollers, fornicators, buffoons, thieves, liars, calumniators. Oh yes, effeminate people that are really effeminate and obstinate. We kick them out. Because guess what? If we didn't, what kind of a camp would we have? We would be no different than the world. So he's telling me he wants to be part of the world. So, in other words, he's loving the world. We told him that. Okay, we're not Protestants, pal. We don't just believe in Jesus and get to heaven. We have to do works. We have to do deeds. We have to be vigilant. There's only one way. A father even keeps his own home holy and pure is by weeding it out and being disciplinary when things are wrong. He's full of the spirit of democracy. He wants to stay back out in that world, and he chooses it because he himself has a vice. I said, you know what we told him? You think we were wrong for kicking out the feminist and the buffoon and the fornicator and the calumniator and the thief and the feminist and the feminist, too? We had that in here. Would you mind if I send them over to your house to live with you? I'll tell you who they are. I'm not going to say their names here, but I know who they are. I'll get them all together in a reunion and move them into your house. I'll let you live with them. But you know what I say to them? You already are living with them. You are living with them. They're all around you. They're your neighbors. You're one of them. You chose not to come here and be pure and holy. If somebody has a real mortally sinful problem, so listen to this sermon. I'm not saying that. I won't allow you here. I will if you want to overcome it. I will if you come and say, Richard, I got some real problems with mortal sins. Can you help me? You're welcome. We will help you. But you've got to listen to us. You're not going to come in here with your mortally sinful problems and tell us what to do. We're the physicians who Christ has been working with us, and that's our job to work with you. And we're going to tell you how to get better. And if you don't want to get better, you're out that door faster than you can blink, pal. That's how you make a camp holy. That's how you make a camp pure. You don't keep these reprobates in here that are listening to rap music, hard rock and roll, obstinate fornicators, homosexuals, feminists. If you have any of those problems, it's almost the world this. Even myself, I had many of those problems. I was out there. I was a pig myself. I broke all the commandments. But God purified me, and I ain't going back there. I hate my old man, and I love the new man that I am. I am not going back. You got a choice. Either you're going to stay out in that world, or you're going to come with us. He is telling me, that man, and I know it, I don't follow him around, you got a vice, pal, a mortal vice. A mortally sinful vice that's preventing you from coming here. And it could just be Americanism and democracy. He doesn't want to be told what to do. He's a rebel. He cannot take hierarchic orders from any god or any church or any person. Cannot tend to be admonished. And now when this guy gets cursed by God, and he surely is under the curse of God right now, and he goes out next week and he starts getting pillared and plumbered by all these freaks, and then he starts getting doubts and all kinds of confusion in his mind and despair to want to commit suicide or run away or do something, he deserves every single bit of it. Because he made his choice. And this is what's happening here. That's why our Lord gives people what they want, the Antichrist. And the 10 kings that are under the Antichrist in his world system. So it says, in the end of this chapter 18, it says, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city which hath kingdom over the kings of the earth. Who has power over the kings of the earth, folks? USA! 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 And her big, pompous, lousy, pride-filled chant. Full of pride. Remember our Lord said in Proverbs 16:18, pride goeth before the fall, and the spirit is lifted up before the destruction. That filthy, lousy, wagging that flag around and boasting about your pride and your arrogant immorality and sin, almost as if you're immortal. McCain even said, there's nothing we can't do as Americans. Nothing you can't do. Our Lord says in Luke, you can't even add one cubit to your stature by taking a thought about it. Go ahead, make yourself taller. Make yourself shorter. Make yourself live forever. They can't give themselves eternal life. They can't fly on their own. They can't get immortal bodies that are going to live forever. They can't enter heaven. Show me how to get... You're not going to build a rocket ship big enough to get to heaven, even though you're trying. But you look at this USA... USA! USA! You know, and then they say, God bless America. What God? Yeah. It ain't the Catholic God, and it never was. Yeah. I got a big question on now. What God? It ain't my God. Yeah. You ain't got no room for Christ the King in democracy. You got no room for Him, ever. Christ the King, the Catholic Christ. This Protestant, Freemasonic, Judeo country is an abomination and is a harlot. And I'm warning you people again, and I'm warning you again, and I'm warning you again, that it's bound for destruction, and God's going to use the Antichrist and his 10 kings to do that one. And who's ever of goodwill, God's going to spare them, and he's going to direct them to us, and they will be with us. But I tell you something, don't presume on anything. If you're listening to my sermon right now, this is your moment. To get right with God. If you even just believe in the story of Sodom and Gomorrah and what God did to that and why he did that, simply because of homosexuality. All right? You got homos getting married. You got homos flaunting filth all over the place in the United States. And pumping it throughout. The United States, when she goes out to South America and over to Muslim countries, she starts putting feminism and homosexuality up on the platter. The harlot offers it up on her big platter of filthiness. You even look how it entered into the Catholic teaching instruments about sex and lust and all that. I don't want to talk about that now because it's so disgusting. I'm going to save it for another sermon. That's why how you know even Rome herself has become a harlot. Because she fell under the seduction of Judeo-Masonry. And because Leo XIII, rotten, sneaky, lousy, was burning in hell forever and they did anything about it effectively. Never. He allowed it to exist. He didn't really squash it. He didn't denounce it and condemn anybody who was teaching it. He didn't declare to be excommunicated anybody that was holding it. He didn't condemn any of the books. And then it led directly right to modernism, which is a direct role. It's just an offshoot of Americanism. It went right into the Vatican with the religious liberty. What do you think of the United States is saying all men are equal? The Vatican says all religions are equal. Oh, well, you didn't really say that. Yeah, well, you're praying with them at Assisi. Yeah. You're gathering them all together and you're saying there are means to salvation. Even these Christians who might not believe that, they really believe it and they don't want to agree with it. If you say a Jew can get to heaven and he can save himself when he dies as a Talmudic Jew or a Muslim who's practicing Islam, you are justifying Islam. I'm sorry, pal. Oh, I'm not saying it's equal to Catholicism. Well, you really are. No, it didn't hurt him. It didn't do him no damage. It could have been an evil thing because he went to heaven while he was practicing it. Oh, you can see everything that's going on here. All right, so now Apocalypse 17, and I'm going to end it here on that. Again, and the woman which thou sawest is the great city which hath kingdom over the kings of the earth. New York City was the one that financed communism. About that leopard, the bear, and the lion, it has multiple interpretations, not just one. One of the interpretations is a leopard means comes to power very quickly and is very quick to power. Quick. So once this kingdom, which we read about, when Satan was unleashed, leopard, he comes quickly to power. Two steps forward, one back, or maybe three in one back only. It's a quick progression. The bear could represent Russia and communism based upon his atheism, atheistic communism, the bear. The lion represents English people and their rebellions like Henry VIII. So the lion represents the English people. Because before the United States was the main harlot, England was. England was, without England, boy, there's no great apostle. The Jews had no haven. So the bear represents Russian, in particular communism based upon atheism. The lion represents England, in particular democracies, which they were really ultimately shooting for, which is based upon religious liberty. And equality, the heresies of religious liberty and the equality of all men. All men are equal, all religions are equal, that's heresy. And the heresies based on communism, which is atheistic, where there is no God. And both, what you're looking at is those two-pronged attack of communism, atheistic, Marxism, and democracy, on the other hand, which we all know, the Jews control both of those, the bear and the lion, and he uses both of them for different ends. He generally uses the bear to come to physical conquests over Catholic kingdoms that cannot be subverted from within. So then he has them conduct an absolute physical war. The lion also speaks boldly with her mouth, tries to do it more by subversion and trickery. So the United States always pretends that she's not a direct enemy to Catholic Church. But she's supporting every enemy to Catholic Church, and she's behind every movement that's attacking the Catholic Church, and even she herself has gotten involved in wars that were attacking the Catholic Church, like in Spain and in Mexico. And the only people might say today or listen to this sermon, oh yeah, but a lot of Catholics are living in the United States today and they don't do nothing to them. You know why? Because they ain't Catholic! Because they're Protestants! They're worse than Protestants. They're Unitarians. They believe in your heresy. They ain't Catholic. If you really had Catholics in this country like we are, and there's a lot of us, we got war going on here, folks. You're going to see the United States like they did when they went to Spain and were warring against Franco, the United States, and Russia. And it was Hitler's Germans and Mussolini's Italians that came in and saved the day on that one. So the United States yourself even has gotten physically involved in combat. One short thing, she would go down and say, well, we don't really agree what's going on in Mexico against the Cristeros and those Catholics by the Judeo-Masons in Mexico. But at the same time, they did nothing to stop it and were secretly supporting it. They were supporting it. They were in their lodges saying, we're going to beat a good cop, you're going to beat a bad cop. When the Cristeros came to the United States for help, and they went everywhere to get help, not one person would give them help. Not one political leader, not one president, not one religious so-called Catholic bishop would give them help. Turned their back on them altogether. so that the pigs in Mexico, the Judeo-Mason pigs, dominated the Catholics in punishment for the Catholic sins. Yes, but nevertheless they did, and the Cristeros were martyred. So you say the United States isn't against Catholicism? Oh, it is. It is. This harlot hates the true Catholic Church. Look at all the leaders in this country. They're all Masons, deists, Protestants, Freemasons. They hate the Catholic Church. The only reason Catholics are peaceful in here because they're not Catholic. They sold their souls to the devil. They sold their souls to Americanism, to modernism, to religious liberty, to all men are equal, to feminism, to homosexuality. That ain't Catholicism, folks. And it never, ever, ever was. The Catholics have done the same things, these nominal Catholics, that the Jews did in the Old Covenant when they turned over to paganism and idolatry and fell into all sins of immorality. Time and time and time and time again. So the leopard represents quick victories. The bear in particular, Russia, communism, Marxism, of the atheistic variety, and then democracies ultimately with the heresies of religious liberty, all men are equal, and Americanism and modernism. These are the two-pronged attacks. That's another interpretation of Apocalypse 13:2. And then next week we're going to go on to Apocalypse 18, which talks about the harlot. It goes into more detail, and then it talks about her being destroyed. All right, so that's it for now, folks, brothers. And may all you other people that are listening to this sermon, may you wise up before it's too late. And if you heard this sermon, let this be the day of your salvation. What I'm saying here makes sense to any person who has like a little ounce of goodwill. So if this sermon didn't make sense to you, you don't even have an ounce of it. You got none of it. And if it don't make no sense to you, you ain't even listening to this end part of it. So I might be wasting my breath. All right. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878. And can be accessed on my St. John the Baptist website at www.johnthebaptist.us.